could say I had a good childhood. I guess I got some memories of running through the woods, and I believe I even built myself a tree house. But I can't find a photo where I'm smiling with my teeth out. I wish I'd listened more to what my grandpa said, but I guess I got the gist of it, 'cause now and then I hear him in my head. And what he says is I should aim high, but 99% of people never really live before they die. Wish I could do it all again, but meet you when I'm 10, be so much better with my best friend. Wish I could do it all again, but meet you when I'm 10, be so much better with you. I wish I had another shot to grow up, but have you living next to me, it's probably how it's supposed to be. But then I chose some folks in Minnesota, born into a quirky family. They tried their best to manage me, but I was always running from my own love, or running from authorities. I really could use your company on my street, which sure be hard to beat. I could say I had a good childhood. I guess I got some memories of running through the woods, and I believe I even built myself a tree house. But I can't find a photo where I'm smiling with my teeth out. I wish I'd listened more to what my grandpa said, but I guess I got the gist of it, 'cause now and then I hear him in my head. And what he says is I should aim high, 'cause 99% of people never really live before they die. Wish I could do it all again, but meet you when I'm 10, be so much better with my best friend. Wish I could do it all again, but meet you when I'm 10, be so much better with you. Was it heaven or hell? It's harder to tell, but I guess I was living in both. Beauty breaking my heart, being scared of the dark, being scared to grow up, 'cause I would have to leave my mom. I just wish that I had you along. I wish that I could say I had a good childhood. I guess I got some memories of running through the woods, and I believe I even built myself a tree house. But I can't find a photo where I'm smiling with my teeth out. I wish I listened more to what my grandpa said, but I guess I got the gist of it, 'cause now and then I hear him in my head. What he says, be so much better with my best friend. Wish I could do it all again, but meet you when I'm 10, be so much better with my best friend. Wish I could do it all again, but meet you when I'm 10, be so much better with my best friend. Wish I could do it all again, but meet you when I'm 10, be so much better with you.
From Stockholm, Sweden, by way of Minneapolis and Albania, that's the group known as Flora Cash here on Radio 9.
Radio 9! Plays more music!
Dwayne Eddy is going to take us to news time.
We'll be right back.
Jay Thurber. You're tuned to Freeform Radio from Carnegie Mellon University, 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, and Tube City Online Radio in McKeesport. FSN News is next. It's 1 o'clock.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Simon Marks with the Week in Review. And the week ended with high drama in U.S. politics. Former Vice President Mike Pence officially breaking with Donald Trump and saying that as Vice President, he had no power to overturn the outcome of the last presidential election. FSN's Nick Harper in our Washington Bureau has more.
The message from Mike Pence was simple.
President Trump is wrong. I had no right to overturn the election. The presidency belongs to the American people and the American people alone.
Speaking at the conservative legal organization, the Federalist Society, Pence's comments are the strongest rebuke yet of President Trump's continuing claims that the election was rigged in Biden's favor.
The week in British politics was also pretty dramatic. Five senior figures at No. 10 Downing Street resigned as investigations continue into parties that broke lockdown regulations, and a growing number of conservative members of parliament said they've lost confidence in the leadership of Prime Minister Boris Johnson. The weekend began with the leak of a photograph showing the Prime Minister enjoying a beer at one of those parties. FSN's Ollie Barrett in London covered the Downing Street resignations.
So these are significant departures, and the next stage of this story becomes how this is all being presented. Downing Street is clearly going to now try and say that this is the government's reset, Boris Johnson's relaunch of his No. 10 administration.
President Biden made a big announcement on Thursday.
Last night, operating on my orders, the United States military forces successfully removed a major terrorist threat to the world, the global leader of ISIS.
Abu Ibrahim al-Qureshi, the leader of Islamic State, blew himself up with a suicide vest as U.S. special forces surrounded the compound where he was living with his wife, children, and at least one top lieutenant. The Pentagon spokesman John Kirby made a big announcement on Wednesday.
The United States will soon move additional forces to Romania, Poland, and Germany.
3,000 U.S. troops were told to deploy immediately to Europe, even though a week ago the president said he would only put boots on the ground there if the Russians invaded Ukraine.
These are not permanent moves. They are moves designed to respond to the current security environment. Moreover, these forces are not going to fight in Ukraine. They are going to ensure the robust defense of our NATO allies.
Russian President Vladimir Putin and President Xi Jinping of China met on Friday at the fringes of the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics. They signed a slew of agreements, and the Chinese leader backed President Putin's opposition to NATO expansion. And India, at the last minute, decided to join the diplomatic boycott of the Winter Olympics, furious that a Chinese soldier who fought against Indian forces in a 2020 skirmish was chosen as one of the torchbearers. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the solid gold sound of a million-dollar weekend, all weekend from
WMCK McKeesport.
Now, got early in the morning, got late in the morning.
Deep Purple and Hush on Radio 9, getting us started in the 1 o'clock hour, 107, much more music time. Coming up just a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking with writer Dan Friedman. He's got an article in the new issue of the Saturday Evening Post called Who Put the Bump in the Bump a Bump a Bump, 70 Plus Years of Rock and Roll, in which he tries to answer the question, what was the first rock and roll song? It turns out that nobody can quite agree, but he has a couple of suggestions on what it might have been. Somebody on Twitter asking the question, what is the worst Valentine's Day gift, Valentine's Day being about a week away now, that you have ever been given? Well, I showed up at my then-girlfriend's house with a bouquet of flowers, and her mom answered the door. This is a true story. And she burst into tears. And it turns out my girlfriend was going out with someone else that night. So that wasn't a great gift. I did let her keep the flowers, though.
Support for WMCK.FM comes in part from the G.C. Murphy Company Foundation. Created in 1952, the G.C. Murphy Company Foundation is a charitable organization that provides funding for educational, cultural, and public activities in the Monoc area. For more information, visit the website at www.gcmurphy.org.
Doesn't really matter because I married up, so... Haha on her. Additional support for this broadcast comes in part from donations from Finney Funeral Homes in Clareton, Dravosburg, Glassport, and West Elizabeth, contributions from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes and Design Monuments, and donations from listeners just like you. Thank you.
Jay Berber. The best ones.
Jay Thurber.
I'd like to thank the guy who wrote the song that made my baby fall in love with me.
the bop, shabop, shabop. Who put the dip in the dip, di dip, di dip? Who was that man? I'd like to shake his hand. He made my baby fall in love with me. Yeah. When my baby heard, bop, 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 bop. Sets my baby's heart all aglow. And every time we dance to dip, 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 she always says she loves me so. So who put the bop in the bop, 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 bop? Who put the rhyme in the ram-a-lama ding dong? Who put the bop in the bop, shoo bop, shoo bop? Who put the dip in the dip, 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 dip? Who was that man?
Darling, bomb, 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 bomb. And my honey, ram-a-lama, ding-dong, forever. And when I say dip, di-dip, 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 you know I mean it from the bottom of my boogity, boogity, boogity shoe.
Put the bump in the bump, a bump, a bump from 1961 here on Radio 9 with Jay Thurber. And the question, who put the bump in the bump, a bump, a bump? Well, Dan Friedman does his best to answer that. It's in the current issue of the Saturday Evening Post. Those of you who follow me on Twitter and Facebook know I subscribed to the Saturday Evening Post recently, and I am, as a friend of mine said, I am getting way too much enjoyment out of my subscription, SaturdayEveningPost.com. But I have the print edition here, and Dan Friedman is on the line with me from Maryland. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hi, Jay.
So, who put the bump in the bump, 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 70 years of rock and roll? You have some hypothesis about who put the bump in the bump, a bump, a bump,
right,
but
well,
it's apparently it's quite an argument.
It is, and then let me just at the outset point out that there is a Pittsburgh connection to that question that some of your listeners may not quite realize, and that is who put the bump, the lyric bump, a bump, a bump, a bump, bump, upon which that question is based, was first put into a song called Blue Moon by the Marcells in Pittsburgh in 1961. And the various question marks around the origins of rock and roll have followed that song and the whole genre ever since.
As a young disc jockey, I was taught that Rocket 88 by Jackie Brenston, and I think Ike Turner played on that record, was the first rock and roll song. But you say, as with a lot of things, that ain't necessarily so.
I agree with that, yes. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the 90s, I think they were under a lot of pressure. You know, this is America, and we like to know what's number one, and everything's a contest. So, legitimately, I think the museum was under some pressure to name a number one. What was the first rock and roll song? And they came up with that. And I think that it's a fine song, and it certainly gets you off your feet and dancing.
Oh, yeah.
And that is all about, is dancing. It was all geared toward dancing. And what, you know, whether it be a kind of like a slow song that's a slow dance, like a slow doo-wop song, or a faster song like a Rocket 88.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear Rocket 88 right now as we talk with Dan Friedman about who put the bump in the bump, a bump, a bump. We'll be right back.
heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along. Smart and designed, black convertible top, and the gals don't mind. Sporting with me, riding all around town for joy. Blow your horn, Raymond, blow! My rocket and don't be late, baby, we're pulling out about half past eight. Going round the corner and get a bill. Everybody in my car's gonna take a little nip. Move on out, oozing and cruising along.
Jackie Brenston and his Delta Cats from way back in 1951.
Yeah, yeah, things we do, baby and me, we listen to
radio.
Nice. It's out of sight.
And we're talking with writer Dan Friedman. He's on the line with us from Maryland.
There is a very fine a doo-wop box set and a very extensive a booklet that went with it. And that's kind of been my Bible for years, and their supposition is that a song called G-E-E by the Crows, which you may know and your listeners may know well, that was the first kind of up-tempo rock song, albeit in a doo-wop format, which is, when I say doo-wop, I mean, you know, four guys, mostly guys, singing a harmony and another guy singing a lead. And one of the, it may be three guys, one of the guys in the harmony part is doing that low voice, just like a fellow by the name of Fred Johnson, who may still be around Pittsburgh, I don't know. But he was the one who was the bass singer on the Marcells, and he was the one who originally started off with bomb, 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 and so on, and did many other very good bass parts in other Marcells songs that were not as big a hit as Blue Moon.
Well, let's hear G by the Crows as we determine who put the bomb in the bomb bomb. Radio 9 with Jay Thurber.
Love that girl.
taking chances. Cause I love a lover so.
My O.G. Well, O.G. My O.G. Oh, I love that girl.
Love that girl.
Oh, 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 please listen to me. Hear my plea. Oh, I love that girl.
Love that girl.
We're talking with Dan Friedman. He is a retired Washington correspondent for Hearst Newspapers. He is currently senior editor at Moment Magazine, and he has an article in the new edition of the Saturday Evening Post called Who Put the Bump? 70 Years of Rock and Roll, and asking the question, now, who was the first rock and roll song? And as we're going to discuss here, it's a little bit more complicated than just picking, well, this song was it. You mentioned that the New Yorker back in 2015 suggested that Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and his Comets was the first rock and roll song, or at least they said that, you know, it was the 60th anniversary of that song, and that's really kicked off rock and roll. But that might have been what kicked off rock and roll for white people. Black folks already knew.
I think Rock, by the time that movie, let me just say that the song was the lead-in to the movie Blackboard Jungle, which was quite an explosive movie at the time. This was late 1955, 1956, and it starred Vic Morrow, who, later went on to be a good TV actor in the series Combat. And also, it was an early movie of Sidney
Poitier.
Poitier, right, who... just unfortunately passed away a few weeks ago. And it had Glenn Ford in it. It had a lot of great elements. But the lead with Rock Around the Clock just set the tone. And it was really not any one particular aspect of the movie. It was the whole thing in its entirety. And the song was just the icing on the cake. And the song really took off with the movie. And it was, for many people, their first recognition of rock and roll, that this was a music form in its own right.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hot. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around. Chimes ring 5, 6, and 7. We'll be right in seventh heaven. We're gonna rock around and rock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Oh, and it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 2. I'll be going strong.
Finish. Rock Around the Clock from the movie Blackboard Jungle. That's Bill Haley and his Comets here on Radio 9 at 128. Much more music time. We're talking with Dan Friedman. He's a writer, recently retired from Hearst Newspapers' Washington Bureau, is now senior editor at Moment Magazine, and he's got a story in the new issue of the Saturday Evening Post called Who'd Put the Bump in the Bump, a Bump, a Bump? 70 Years of Rock and Roll, trying to answer the question, what was the first rock and roll song anyways? Rock Around the Clock, as Dan and I say, was not it.
Bucky's
Here's your forecast for the entire listening area. Partly sunny skies this afternoon with a high near 22. Mostly clear overnight, low of 10. Sunny on Sunday, high 39. Monday, partly sunny, high near 42. Tuesday, partly sunny and a high near 33. Right now, just ahead of more music and conversation, 22 in Beaver County. It is 21 in Washington, 19 outside our weather window here in downtown McKeesport, and street level at the corner of Forbes and Morwood in Oakland. It's 18 at WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. You're also listening to Tube City Online Radio in McKeesport, and it is 129.
Action Radio.
Well, that movie gets very political, too, kind of, because the movie is delinquency, and there was sort of there was a panic in the 1950s that our kids are becoming juvenile delinquents. In fact, you mentioned this in the article. Yeah. Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers did a song called I'm Not a Juvenile Delinquent. But this movie kind of depicts an inner city high school and you know, all the coded language that goes into those terms, right? But there's juvenile delinquents, and Glenn Ford is the teacher who's going to come in and try to straighten things out. Rock Around the Clock plays, and in some movie theaters, didn't kids like rip the seats out of the theaters and start dancing?
That may be.
That's what was reported, at least. Yeah,
likely than not to be real.
Right.
I think the thing was that as I say in the story, Bill Haley himself was from a small town in Pennsylvania.
Yes, he was.
The eastern or central part of the state, and they performed in matching plaid sports coats. So weren't exactly the image of juvenile delinquent in their own right.
Bill Haley was in his 30s. Bill Haley was in his 30s, I think, when he recorded that song, and he had already been a journeyman country and western singer. Yeah, balding. Yeah.
By the time that movie came out, and by the time that song got recorded, rock and roll was already an established entity. On the airwaves for sure, thanks to Alan Freed and a bunch of others. And the sort of the animating force, as I say in the article, was that in the early 50s, when some of these songs started to get recorded, G, for instance, which I've mentioned already, was 1954, the music industry gradually, it took quite some time, began to notice that white kids and even, Latino kids were really picking up and buying this music on these low-budget 45 RPM record labels and buying it and dancing to it. And these kids didn't want to listen to Patti Page. They weren't interested in Perry Como. And they wanted, something kind of rocking, a rocking beat to dance to, or a sort of a slower, sentimental four-part harmony to do a slow dance to. So a lot of it was the music industry waking up and recognizing that there is this vast, untapped teenage market out there that they had to start appealing to. So they really did a quick backpedal. This is the brilliance of America, I have to say. An industry can pick up on something and put its brains to it. And so a lot of these early doo-wop efforts were very homespun, very kind of low-budget, low-tech, like the legendary Five Satins Within the Still of the Night. That was recorded in a church basement in New Haven. And you can tell it has a very low-budget sound.
It has a very flat sound to it, yeah. Yeah, it does.
Here they are, the Five Satins, and In the Still of the Night on Radio 9 with Jay Thurber talking with Dan Friedman.
I held you, you died.
recorded in a church basement in New Haven, Connecticut in 1956. The Five Satins on Radio 9. At 1:35, much more music time. Hello to Chris listening in Monroeville, who called in to say he heard an interview with Fats Domino where Fats said, what the kids today are calling rock and roll, we were calling R&B down in New Orleans back in the day.
Radio 9, Million Dollar Weekend.
We're talking with Dan Friedman. He is a writer in Maryland, formerly with Hearst Newspapers, currently with Moment Magazine. He has an article in the new issue of the Saturday Evening Post called 70-plus years of rock and roll. Who put the bump in the bump, the bump, the bump? And that's what we are talking about, is where were the origins, and can you point to one particular record that is the first rock and roll record? Dan's argument that I think would be shared by many people, including, you quote, Kenny Vance of Kenny Vance and the Planetones, who's well-known to folks here in Pittsburgh, as saying you really can't point to one particular record. One thing I want to pick up on here is a lot of the panic around rock and roll, and I thought it was very interesting. The Saturday Evening Post has a page of quotes from its archives from different writers, you know, who were panicked, you know, in the late 50s, early 60s about this rock and roll music. A lot of the panic seems to me to be the fact that we have white kids and black kids dancing together. We have white musicians and black musicians performing together. And I one of Pittsburgh's best known groups, the group that really did put the bump in Blue Moon, bump, 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 is the Marcells from Pittsburgh, including Walt Maddox. And you point out one of the reasons that group broke up is that they couldn't go on tour together.
Right. That's my understanding. And eventually the white performers of the Marcells kind of drifted away, and it really was after Blue Moon, predominantly kind of a black group.
And I think, I may be misremembering, but I think the Del Vikings, which is also a Pittsburgh group, Come and Go with Me, and a bunch of other songs from the 50s, I think the same thing happened to those guys. They was a mixed group of airmen out at the Air National Guard base in Pittsburgh, and I think they eventually had to break up for the same reason. There was a real political aspect to some of this. There was a real, you know, discrimination aspect to this.
That's true, but on the other side of that, as I say in the story, this was a time of the dawning of the civil rights era.
Mm-hmm.
1954, remember, was the year of Brown v. Board of Education, and people didn't know where things were going, but they knew they were going somewhere, and that the race division in the United States, sort of de jure and de facto segregation in the South, and in the North as well. But that was kind of going to come to an end, and in a very unselfconscious manner, this music kind of brought white kids and black kids together. It didn't really mean they were dancing with each other necessarily. I mean, you're going to look at American Dance Band and the old grainy videos, and you'll see like white kids are dancing with white kids.
Yes.
But
they are on the same floor together. They are, you know, they're not segregated. There were segregated movie theaters still in the 1950s, and they weren't. Dick Clark was not keeping them on separate dance floors. Something else you talk about Elvis. And Elvis really is, you know, as much as Bill Haley was kind of a pioneer, the late Doug Hirth used to say that everybody looked at Bill Haley in 1955 and they said, whatever the face of rock and roll is, this 30-year-old guy with a spit curl is probably not it. Then Elvis comes along.
Right.
But you mentioned that Elvis, his big breakout hit, Hound Dog, which he did on the Steve Allen Show very famously, he was covering Big Mama Thornton, as you put out, who was a straight-out blues singer.
You told me you was high class, but I can see through that. Yeah, she told me you tail. Oh, get it.
Radio 9 at 1:42, much more music time, and we're talking with Dan Friedman from the Saturday Evening Post about his article, Who Put the Bump in the Bump-a-Bump-a-Bump?
I'm looking over the story right now. I hope I used the word confluence.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
What happened. I mean, to say there, here it was, the first song, I mean, it defies the real forward motion of the music, and really all of history, I suppose you might argue, and that is it never stays in one place very long. It's constantly moving, constantly evolving, and so the confluence of rock and roll came down to the various pop chart, which was the number one chart, mostly of white singers, white groups, white singers, and then the R&B chart, which was the province of black singers and black groups.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the markers in the history of this is the various crossing over that took place, that hits by black groups that initially were big chart toppers on the R&B chart crossed over and got to be into the top 20 on the pop chart, i.e. the white group chart, and that the first black group that got to white chart was the group that sang 60 Minute Man.
The Dominoes. Billy Ward and the Dominoes.
Yeah, yeah. 60 Minute Man in 1951 broke the top 20, which was unheard of. So you know, you look for a first rock and roll song. There's a candidate right there.
Minutes of blowing my top. If your man ain't treating you right, come up and see your dad. I'll rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60-minute man.
60-minute
man.
Call him
to love and then I'll rock, roll all night long. I'm a 60-minute.
60 minute man,
they call me
loving
Dan. I rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a
60 minute man.
There'll be 15 minutes of kissing,
then you holler, please don't stop.
There'll be 50 minutes of teasing and 50 minutes of squeezing and 50
15 minutes of blowing my top. If your old man ain't treating you right, come up and see old Dan. I rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60-minute man, oh yeah.
Billy Ward and the Dominoes here on
Radio 9.
We're talking with Dan Friedman. And Dan, your article's not very long, but it really is what you have packed into this story, there's a lot. And for anyone who is not familiar with the early years of rock and roll, it is a really good survey overview of this sort of stuff. You sound like you have a passion for this. And I think you were telling me off the air that you have a box set of doo-wop records. Where did you grow up, and what kind of music were you listening to?
Well, that's good. I'm glad you asked that. I grew up in New York City,
okay,
the Upper West Side. Mm-hmm. I had a very sheltered, protected kind of home. My parents were kind of Upper West Side intellectual types. They hated rock and roll and anything associated with it. So the music that was played in my home was strictly classical music and some folk music. Pete Seeger was a big deal.
Sure.
Beavers.
Yeah.
They were a big deal. But as I think you yourself said to me, the music was just in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you couldn't turn on a radio. You couldn't walk in a grocery store. You couldn't go on a street corner where you weren't hearing some kind of harmony music. So my mental default setting for pop music is doo-wop.
Mm,
and
yeah.
Because that's what was played in the Northeast. And when I say Northeast, I'm using that quite broadly.
Yeah.
It would be anything, you know, from Washington to Baltimore. The Clovers were, yeah, from Baltimore, a very big early group. New York, of course, and Harlem. Philadelphia, you know, just endless numbers of groups coming out of Philadelphia. But also Pittsburgh, which I know you don't think of yourselves as part of the East Coast necessarily.
Not necessarily.
And Chicago and even L.A.
Yeah.
So that was a broad belt. And the Elvises and, you know, Carl Perkins and what have you, they were out of the, you know, in the non-New York kind of nexus in Memphis. And elsewhere, but they all kind of landed in the same place, you know, the American Bandstand, Alan Freed, and the Top 20 pop chart. So that was the great kind of equalizer moment for rock and roll that brought it all together.
Well, it's a great story. I recommend that people go on the website. I'm assuming it'll be up on the website by the time people hear this, SaturdayEveningPost.com. 70 years of rock and roll. Who put the bump in the bump, a bump, a bump? Dan Friedman has been our guest. What are you working on next, Dan?
Oh, well, that's a kind of a mental work in progress. I just finished a major story, a cover story, on a quite the linear opposite topic, and that is Holocaust education, educating kids in schools about the Holocaust and using it as an example to try to make people aware of intolerance and prejudice. Young people, I should say. Students.
Yeah, yeah. Will that be for Moment Magazine or for Saturday Evening Post?
That was for Moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is for Moment.
Okay.
And so that was quite a bit of work. So I'm kind of in a recovery period from that. But I intend to stay active. And music is a passion. And I actually have something coming up on the website about the documentary about the Velvet Underground, which was, again, not exactly the oldies.
No?
Oldies of a different sort.
Oldies of a different sort, yeah. Dan Friedman.
Lou Reed's initial incarnation. So I just love this music. I always have, and I still listen to it very frequently. I have Spotify now. I have a lot of the various oldies on Spotify, and it's just it makes me feel good, all glad all over, as Dave Clark once said.
Dan Friedman is senior editor of Moment Magazine, where you can find his work, including his upcoming cover story there on Holocaust education. He's a longtime former regional correspondent for Hearst Newspapers, now retired. He was in the Hearst Newspapers Washington Bureau. You can find him on Twitter, and he's got this new article in the Saturday Evening Post, 70 Years of Rock and Roll, Who Put the Bomb, the Bomb, the Bomb, the Bomb. Thank you, Dan, for spending some time with our listeners this day.
Absolutely. Glad to do it. Thank you for inviting me.
Radio 9 plays more music.
The DC 5 on Radio 9 at 1:53. Much more music time. Thank you, Dan Freed. Dan, you had a shout-out you wanted to make to Carnegie Mellon because you have a Carnegie Mellon connection, Dan, and I cut you off. Go ahead.
Victoria Siplicus. Tori.
Yeah.
And her father went there. I mean, they're all, this kind of math genius Google. Like, she's getting out of her first job's going to be six figures plus with bonuses and in Seattle for Amazon or Google or one of those. I'm not sure.
Well, thank you, Dan. Thank you. And a shout out to Tori and her dad at Carnegie Mellon from Dan Friedman. More music and sports and weather coming up after this.
Save a life and reverse an opioid overdose by contacting the Monyak Community Services. They offer the ATIS program that has been specializing in substance use treatment for over 35 years. They offer several different levels of care. Each are tailored to individual needs and personal circumstances. Visit www.mics.org/billboard.
Jay Herbert plays good guy hit.
You saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart.
Dang it, dang, dang, ding it on.
Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really care for. And then there suddenly appeared before me the
on, dang 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 dang. Bomb, 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 dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, boom. Bomb, 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 dang, 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 ding, dong, ding. Bloom.
Those are Pittsburgh's old Marcells, and I can't get down that low or I'll hurt myself.
Your front row center at the ball game, and you don't have to fight the crowd. Turn your radio on as loud as you care to, then prepare to enjoy it.
The National Hockey League All-Star Game is tonight at T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada, home of the Vegas Golden Knights, and the NHL says it is ready to go worldwide again. After 2 years of COVID-19 restriction, Commissioner Gary Bettman said yesterday that the NHL Global Series will return next season with preseason games in Germany and Switzerland, followed by regular season games in Finland and the Czech Republic. Last night in the hardest shot competition, Tampa Bay's Victor Hedman was the winner, and St. Louis' Jordan Cryou was the fastest skater during the skills competition. Had kind of a Vegas flavor since, of course, they are in Las Vegas. Nice times in the NHL, not so great for Major League Baseball. Locked out players yesterday rejected Major League Baseball's request for a federal mediator to enter their labor negotiations. And pretty much eliminates any chance for an on-time start to spring training. It also increases the threat to opening day. Owners locked out the players on December 2nd following the expiration of their five-year collective bargaining agreement. There have been only three negotiating sessions since then. Ryan Larson from Columbia University is the new football coach of the Carnegie Mellon University Tartans, a 13-year coaching veteran. Larson was quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator for the past 3 years. He begins his role as the new Tartans head coach on February 21st, taking over the reins from Rich Lackner, who retired following last season. The Carnegie Mellon program went 8-2 during the season, winning the conference and advancing to its first playoff berth since 2006. In college basketball action, the Carnegie Mellon men are in action tomorrow as they take on the University of Chicago. They beat Chicago last Sunday at home by a score of 65-57. That game gets underway at noon. The Carnegie Mellon women's team will take the court at 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Pittsburgh's weather.
Here's your forecast for the entire listening area. Sunny skies for the remainder of the afternoon with a high near 22. Clear overnight with a low of 10. Sunny on Sunday with a high of 39. Monday partly sunny with a low around 20. Monday partly sunny with a high near 40. Tuesday partly sunny with a high around 20. Right now, just ahead of PNS News, PNS Network News here on Radio 9 with Jay Thurber. It's 21 in Beaver County. It's 19 in Washington County. 19 also outside our weather window here in downtown McKeesport. And street level at the corner of Forbes and Morwood, it's 18 degrees. I'm Jay Thurber, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. This is Radio 9 on 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. And on the internet at Tube City Online Radio, McKeesport, WMCK.FM. PNS News is next. It's 2 o'clock.
Our victory on the rights of pregnant people when securing living wills has been settled now in Idaho. Our Eric Tegenoff explains.
A lawsuit over a 2005 law that excluded pregnant people from making life-sustaining decisions and advance directives has been dismissed. Jess Peasley is an attorney with the organization Compassion and Choices. She says under Idaho's interpretation of that 2005 law, pregnant people would be kept on life support even if they disagreed with that decision.
This law was really offensive in that it somehow suggested that pregnant individuals or people capable of becoming pregnant would make the wrong decision. And so it was removing this decision-making ability from the individual themselves and putting it in the hands of the state.
In 2021, a federal district judge ruled the state's exclusion was unconstitutional because it violated a person's right to free speech and medical decision-making. It was the first decision of its kind on this issue. The state appealed the decision, but then reversed and finalized a settlement this week.
A newly expanded tax credit program for low-income people means more Arkansans are eligible than ever.
Through temporary support from the American Rescue Plan, 19 to 24-year-olds and people 65 and older without children will qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit for the first time. Workers without kids can receive up to $1,500 in tax breaks, reaching more than 173,000 Arkansans. Bruno Showers of Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families says it can help people pay for basic needs.
A lot of people use the EITC to pay down debts, make sure that they're caught up on their bills, school supplies, so they can skill themselves up and obtain better employment. So it really just helps plug in these holes where, you know, a lot of people are really struggling right now, and the EITC helps them make it work.
Eligibility requirements for the credit include earning money from a job or some disability benefits and making $27,000 or less without kids. I'm Emily Scott.
Finally, Mary Sherman tells us whether you are hunkered down at home or out on the job today, folks across the nation are urged to wear red.
The American Heart Association's Go Red for Women Day is in its 18th year, drawing attention to the fact that cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of women, ahead of cancer and other diseases. Brianne Ballard with the AHA in Columbus says you're never too young to be thinking about heart health.
Heart attacks are on the rise in younger and younger women. It's actually the number one killer of women over the age of 20. You know, there's a misconception that it's an old person's disease or an old man's disease, and the research shows us it's just not the case.
She adds there are seven key health factors tied to improving cardiovascular health: not smoking, healthy diet and weight, physical activity, as well as controlling cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood sugar.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Bad news for you. If you're looking for us on 1360, you're not going to find us. You will, however, find us on your radio at 88.3 FM, WRCT Pittsburgh, and Tube City Online Radio in McKeesport. Here's Steely Dan at 203.